morning, let's take your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. We have been working our way through the book of Acts. And you realize last week a warning has been warned for this year. Half the robotic calls from your cell phone in 2019 will be perpetrating a scam. Okay? They will work to get money or personal information from you. And guess what? They will sound very legitimate and very urgent, and they will want you to act right then. And I don't know if it's going to be the scam of the, you know, the IRS, you have to pay us within, you know, 2 hours or you're going to jail, or something of that nature. So just, I'm giving you the warning that the country's given us. Be careful about who you're listening to on the other end of your cell phone. They say the best defense is to see if you recognize the caller or number, and if you do not, let it go to voicemail. Okay? Now, once again, when you have just a dumb phone like this one, okay? When you have a dumb phone like this one, you don't have to worry quite as much because, you know, you just don't get all those ads and everything else on it. So, well, in Acts chapter 20, we're going to challenge ourselves today because Paul has left the city of Ephesus. He was there for 3 years, and he is now headed for Greece. He was there for 3 months. Now he's making a trip. He's heading for Jerusalem. And on the way to Jerusalem, he stops at Miletus. And when he's at Miletus, he calls for these people. And I really believe that the words pastor, overseer, elder, even bishop, all sort of talk about the same person. That we're, you know, and God has called me to be, probably wear a lot of hats. I'm supposed to be overseer. You know, I'm supposed to be shepherd. That's probably my favorite term, by the way. I like being called a shepherd. Now, once again, I was a sheep shearer, so I've been around sheep all my life. Okay? But I like that. I like that. And once again, we've been in some barns before. And my dad tells this story. He says, Brian, you're a preacher. Let me tell you this story. He says, I've sheared sheep all my life, my dad says. I would go to one farm and there'd be a guy there. I'd get there and the sheep are still out. And he says, the owner of the sheep, he's trying to chase them into the barn and he's throwing rocks at them and everything else. He finally gets them in the barn. And the sheep are all just jumping all over the place. They're all nervous. You know, so my dad's trying to shear sheep and they're kicking and everything else. You know, and he gets done with the sheep and the guy kicks him in the butt on the way out the door. And he's complaining. He says, man, my sheep, I haven't done very good this year. He says, my dad says, I go down the road 5 miles. And I get to that farm. The sheep are all in the barn. And as I'm shearing the sheep, the owner of the sheep says, you see that ewe over there? That ewe has given me twins for 4 years in a row. And he gets all done. He has nothing but praise to say about his sheep. He also, you know, if they were outside the barn, he would just be able to call them today, 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 and they would run right in the barn. Okay. And my dad used to point at me and he says, Brian, sometimes it's not the sheep's fault, it's the shepherd. And wow, we sheared sheep in Clare, 300 sheep, you walk in the door, 6 shearers, so, you know, I sheared 83 sheep that day. But, and I gave all the money to the lady I was going to marry. She got my check that day. Been given to her ever since. Cornwall Ranch. Lillian Cornwall Carter was her name. And she, the first thing, boys, be careful with my sheep. And we'd walk in there, and there were sheep laying down with blankets over them because they were sick. And she was probably the neatest shepherd of the whole thing. But Paul's a shepherd. He's a shepherd, and he wants to compare. He wants these guys. He wants these guys. Guys, I want you to be over the church of God, and I want you to watch out for them because there's going to be some dangers coming along the way. Let's see if we can see what, let's start off in verse 17, okay, 17. Acts 20:17. From Miletus, Paul sent out to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews." First thing, guys, I want you to know that I tried to be an example of what it means to be a pastor. I served the Lord with humility, and I served him even while I was in the midst of trials and troubles. And I want to challenge each of you. You are an example. You are an example. When you go to work this week, guess what? People are going to be watching. They may not say boo, but they're watching. And they're watching to see, does this Bible stuff this guy promotes, does it really work? Does it really work when you're going through trials? And I hope that you can be the example to them that it does. You're not exempt from trials. I'm not exempt from trials. You know? But what the Bible says, hey, I came to you and preached in humility and even in the midst of trials. Keep on going there. You know that I've not hesitated to preach anything but what would be helpful to you guys. I even did it publicly and from house to house. And then verse 21, may we always emphasize, Paul says, guys, I have declared to both the Jews and the Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. If Paul was ever going to say something to some preachers, guys, don't forget the message. This is what you are supposed to share with people. You're supposed to share with people that they must turn, repent. We've been talking about that. John challenged us one night in prayer meeting about repentance. Tonight, we're preaching on the message. Are you sorry for your sin? Oh, man. Are you sorry for your sin? And sometimes, you know, I was thinking about that when Chuck was preaching teaching the Sunday school this morning on Jeremiah. That whole group of people had wandered from God. They're out doing what they shouldn't be, and it doesn't seem to bother them. We need to have sin bother us. And probably the best way for it ever to bother us is to realize, first of all, he went to the cross in my place. And more than that, he is holy, righteous, pure, just. And one of these days, you and I are going to stand in front of this God. And we're going to give an account. Corinthians says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things due him for the things done while in the body. Is that? I know I've thought the wrong things before. I know I've said the wrong things before. I know I've done wrong things. And I would, if I stood there in my own merits, God would have no other choice than to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. But I had someone work on my behalf. He who knew no sin became sin for me, became sin for you, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. And so I've entered into this. And once again, I've moved from being in this camp of being in sin, and I've moved over here to being in Christ. And that door is still open for you too. It's still open. Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, Jesus says, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, and you'll find rest for your souls. It's a challenge. Keep on. So he's going to tell these guys, keep on preaching the message. Don't ever stop preaching the message that people must turn to God in repentance and have faith in the Lord Jesus. Verse 22. And now compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus Christ has given me, the task of testifying the gospel of God's grace. We know that later on, take your Bibles ahead to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is going to be Paul's last letter that he writes. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, he says these words. He tells Timothy, verse 2, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage. That's sort of the job of the preacher supposed to have. Correct. Rebuke, encourage. And I find myself at home. Pastor Cuddy, what are you doing to encourage people? You're up here whipping on them and you're telling them not to sin. But what can I do to encourage you? I can encourage you by saying to know him is the greatest blessing you'll ever have in your life. It's the greatest relationship you can enter into. And I can encourage you to keep on being faithful. One thing, I'm working on the last part of Romans. I consider that our present sufferings, Paul would say, are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. We're looking forward to some good things. So he keeps on going there. He says, I don't know what's waiting for me, but I plan on being faithful. And so he says, I've kept the faith. I finished the race. I've done those things. Henceforth, there is waiting for me a crown of righteousness that the Lord will give me. And not only to me only, but also for everyone who are looking forward to his appearing. And so you have the possibility of getting a crown of righteousness someday as you live and work for the Lord. Let's go back to Acts 20. Sorry about that. Hey, verse 25. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Guys, I'm telling you, he says, I'm coming to the end of my robe. I've been faithful to the Lord. The Lord has this on the plans for me, that I'm going to be suffering persecution and hardship. I'll probably never see you again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Now, I believe that phrase throws us back to Ezekiel chapter 3, which talks about the watchman. And the watchman was supposed to warn the city if the enemy was coming. And if the watchman was sleeping and the enemy came, then he was held accountable for the death that took place. But if the watchman is there and he says, hey, guys, the enemy's coming, but they just... that's Charlie out there. Charlie, I'm sorry, Charlie. Didn't mean that, by the way. So we need to realize he's always spouting off. And if they do not accept the warning, then their blood's on their own shoulders. So I think that's what Paul's telling us here. Now, verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves. Now, that's a good thing to tell preachers. Keep watch over yourselves. Paul says, hey, You have a responsibility to encourage and to rebuke and correct and all these. Keep watch over yourselves. I remember the Christian was here this morning for Sunday school. Appreciate that. But I remember Christian coming up in the other time and said, Pastor Cuddy, you got it made. You got it made. You don't have any problems. I said, Christian, Satan has my phone number just as much as he has yours. You know, and we all need to realize, I need to keep watch over myself. Why do I want to keep watch? Because I got youth group tomorrow night. Okay? Where's Luke at? Luke around? We need to get the air on, Luke. Somebody, click that on back there. Thank you, dear. For me, if nobody else. Keep watch over yourself. Keep watch over yourself. What am I trying to do? Man, we live in a world where there's temptations all over the place. I've shared with you before. My wife knows this. We have to be careful about what movies we watch. We're careful about language, of course. If all of a sudden we are starting to watch a movie, and all of a sudden every other word is an F word, guess what? We shut it off. We don't need it. But we also have to be careful about sensuality too. Because guys are wired that way. And so I want to guard over my life. I want to say, okay, there's certain things that I don't want to bring into my life. So I'm careful. I own the internet like most of you guys do. Computers. Computer and the internet can be the worst devil of the world in your life. It can have all the filth you want to find. I like the internet. I use it every day for good things. But I better be able to say, hey, this is an area I better not be going into. So I want to guard myself and also guard the flock of God, which you are made an overseer of. And so I want to challenge you as well. You also need to put some safeguards in your life. Hey, if I'm struggling with the alcohol, I don't go to the places that serve alcohol. If I'm struggling with pornography, I don't. I always love it. It's like, hey, this is DirecTV, and we are going to give you a deal, Mr. Cuddy. We're going to give you next 3 months of HBO, Cinemax, and Showtime, and everything else. And I'm thinking, I don't need the pornography pumped into my house. So I just say no to the movie channels. I just do. So that's one of the things I know I need to do. Okay? Keep on going here. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. He paid the penalty for you. He paid the penalty for me. The question is, have you ever accepted what he did for you? And I pray that we sang that last song today. There's room at the cross for you. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in and will not spare the flock. And that's our message this morning. Watch out for the wolves. Watch out for the wolves. I think the Sandusky Baptist Church has had some wolves at times. We've had some wolves. We've had people come in, and it was always interesting. This person would come in for Sunday school, but as soon as any preacher wanted to preach, he'd be out the door. He'd be out the door. When I got hurt, when I fell down the steps and took the tendons off both kneecaps, and my wife wheeled me in the wheelchair from where we live all the way over here, that was a task, it was. Okay. I roared in the church, and here's the guy sitting in the, I said, what are you doing here? He never came back after that, though. I was thinking that he said, well, this Cuddy, he's going to be gone for a while. Maybe I can come back. So sometimes we need to realize there are wolves that will creep in. Watch out what they're teaching, by the way. We should be careful what we teach when it comes to youth group, when it comes to Sunday school. Jude says it this way. Dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once and for all entrusted to the saints. For certain men, whose condemnation was written about long ago, have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality, and they deny Jesus Christ, their only sovereign and Lord. So, once again, be careful about the... I think we need to be careful about the wolves. There are financial wolves that can come into the church. Now, once again, Sandusky Baptist Church has been good to Brian and Terry Cuddy. We're well satisfied with the salary we get, okay? But there are others who are really good at getting you to give. And once again, I'm not against faith giving. I think it's good. I have a hard time with TV preachers, and I'll get in trouble real quick. I sort of have a hard time with a Joel Osteen who lives in mansions and has, they say, a yacht bigger than the Titanic. Okay? So I have a hard time with these guys who are always saying, hey, sow your seed. Sow your seed. And so, and because Paul goes down here, let's skip down a little bit. He says, verse 32, now I commit you to God and to the work of his grace, which can build you up and give you inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. So Paul gives us a good example of how the minister is supposed to deal with money. And I, and once again, there's lots of others, guys, that you could just name that at times are very, very, very wealthy and rich and live extravagant lives. And you like to think, hey, Paul says what? He says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So I think at times we need to be careful about financial wolves. There's no way of getting around it. We need to be careful about sexual wolves that enter the church nowadays. The Catholic Church is not the only church that wrestles with this problem. Where I grew up, Steeles Baptist Church in Gladwin, there they had a school there, and they had a couple that did everything. They were just energetic and the greatest people. But they always had a way of sort of taking a young lady under their wing and just sort of, you know, helping her, and they'd take her on trips. And comes to find out, there was abuse going on there, and that guy's sitting in prison today. And my brother Jerry says, man, I just never saw it. You know, this was a friend of mine. We went to Mexico. There were four couples that went to Mexico. We enjoyed each other's company. But there was that predator part of it. Now, once again, the Sandusky Baptist Church probably needs to do a better job on it when it comes to vetting people who want to serve and things like that. But it happens, so you better be. And I would say, man, be willing to let someone know if there is the person who is bothering you or something like that. So beware of the sexual wolves that can enter the church. So the challenge, once again, Paul would just say, join with others. He would say this, join with others in following my examples. Yeah? Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ, Paul says. And so he's trying to share with these preachers that they would know how to take care of the flock of God. And he's also talking to the flock of God. I think that they would also be examples. Okay? I thought that was a good question today. A lot of people are not coming to church anymore. What's the difference? And I really think that we need to live differently. And once again, I'm not ready to become Amish or anything like that. I'm not. But our lives should be different. Paul says it this way over in Philippians. Join with others in following my example and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For I tell you, and even say again with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their glory is in their shame. Their God is their stomach. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. That's how we're supposed to be living our life, even while we walk on this earth of ours. So I pray this morning that you'd hear Paul's concern. Hey, preachers, guard yourself. Watch over your flock. Yeah. Peter says it this way. Be shepherds. You know, be shepherds to those who are you're over, serving as overseers, not because you must, but because you're willing, as God wants you to be. Not greedy for money, but eager to serve. Not lording it over those entrusted to you. And there's times I wonder at times whether Pastor Cuddy has dropped the ball. I don't like being a dictator preacher. I've been in churches where there are dictator preachers. You know? And, you know, I've heard a guy say, because you weren't in prayer meeting, I'm questioning your salvation. I don't follow any one of you around with a video camera during the week. I don't. But there's someone who does. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So, yeah. You can pull the wool over Brian Kenny's eyes pretty easy. I want to be a pastor that says, there is a way that you need to live your life. I don't want you to stay in this camp. If you stay in this camp, you are going to hell someday. But if you, by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, says, Lord, I do believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I want you to be my Savior. There's a lifestyle that goes along with that. You know, it just is. Paul tells these people, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They're darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that's in them due to the hardening of their heart, having lost all sensitivity. They've given themselves over to sensuality, to indulge in every kind of impurity, with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and you were taught in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self with its deceitful desires and to be made new in the attitude of your mind and to put on the new self created to be like God and true righteousness and holiness. So the challenge, the lifestyle, Paul's concern. You can't live that way anymore. If you've embraced Christ as your Savior, there's a lifestyle that has a hunger for this word, has a desire to please God with your life, and there's something about, Lord, I'll trust you. I'll trust you, even though I don't understand all what's going on in my life. And I pray that that might be true, as sometimes we go through some ups and downs in life we do not understand. There's a glory in knowing, God, you're in charge. And I will learn to trust you. And one of the other passages you love about Paul, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. I learned what it means to have plenty. I know what it means to be in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Well, Paul is concerned about wolves. When I leave, be careful, guys. Wolves can come into your congregation. Some of them are looking for financial gain. Some are going to be sexual predators even. Some are going to be, they're going to be divisive. And they're going to try to divide the flock so they can draw off a group of that flock for their own little group. We've probably all seen those different scenarios all over our lives. I pray this morning that you might hear Paul's words, though. The examples. Watch it. Guard yourself. And then I hope that you also can say, I want to finish the course. I want to finish the course. I want to be found faithful, so that one of these days our Lord will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well, we're going to do a little acapella in here, okay? We're going to be, hey, I like to